Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 48, here is what we're going to read. We're going to read that chapter. We're close to the end of Genesis. Basically, two more times, and then Genesis will be complete. I love the book of Genesis. I've learned so many wonderful truths, so many wonderful things that the Lord has allowed me to experience in reading this chapter in this book. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick," and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. The one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat up upon the bed. Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz and in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." That's important right there. I want you to note that. Just kind of put a mark if you write in your Bible. And thy issue which thou begattest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." That's also interesting to note. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." And Joseph brought them out from between his knees and bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand and towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Ephraim's right hand, or Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim. So that's a crossover. He went right to left. He crossed over, and he did exactly what Joseph didn't want him to do. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom thy father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from the evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named on them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he said, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head into Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. But thy right hand upon put thy right hand upon his head." And his father refused, said, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." And he blessed them that day, saying, "In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die. But God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." 22 is also interesting to note. "Moreover, I have given thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." There's a lot of gold nuggets in this passage of Scripture. And if you're not reading it carefully, you're going to miss some things. It is interesting, isn't it interesting, that Joseph brought Manasseh and Ephraim, and as soon as Jacob knew it was Manasseh and Ephraim, he called him Ephraim and Manasseh. To this day, we still say Ephraim and Manasseh, putting the younger in front of the older. Let's pray real quick and ask God to bless our service, and I'll give you just a few thoughts tonight concerning Genesis chapter 48. Father, I need you. I thank you for the strength that you give us every day. Your mercies are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I pray that you'll just bless this time. Help me to say the things that you would want me to say. Help me to say it in a manner that you'd have me to say it. And Father, may we be better prepared to serve you after we leave this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that I want us to notice is I want us to see Jacob's condition. Jacob's condition. Well, it's not hard to find out that Jacob's dying. That's a pretty grave condition. He's dying. I do find it very interesting that when Jacob knew that Joseph was coming over, Jacob did everything in his power to get himself up and make himself presentable before Joseph. Respect. Respect for authority. Even though Joseph was his son, respect for authority. I think there was respect there for Joseph, his son, as well. And I think there was respect there for Rachel, his true love. I see that he's dying. Even in a dying condition, he pays honor to his son and he does his best. We also see that he's blind, or he's very close to being permanently blind. He can't see. It kind of reminds me of his dad. His dad went through the same thing. Isaac went through the same thing and couldn't see at the end of his life. And so we see the condition of Jacob. He's dying, he's blind. You know, this tells me that God isn't done with people, even if they're dying or blind. God still has something for you to do. And the reason that you're left on earth, no matter who you are, what condition you're in, the reason that you're left on this earth is not to lay around and agonize. You're to be used as a vessel of God. And sometimes that vessel is to lay around and agonize. Because God is doing something in somebody else's life that's trying to get their attention, and you're suffering. So God will get their intention. I'm just telling you, God's not done with you no matter what condition you're in. And Jacob wasn't being done with God, even though Jacob was dying and Jacob was blind. He basically laid in bed all day and he couldn't see. But God wasn't done with him yet. And if God's not done with Jacob, let me tell you something. God's not done with anybody in this room. He's not done with anybody that's listening to me either. The second thing I want you to see is Jacob's course of action. Jacob's course of action. Verse 4 and 5 is interesting because here you're going to find something unusual, and maybe it even passed you over in years gone by reading Genesis. In this verse, Jacob adopts Ephraim and Manasseh. He makes them not his grandchildren. He makes them their children. Why is that important? Because Jacob's responsibility was to provide his blessing. Remember, Abraham blessed Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob, although it was deceitful, but Isaac blessed Jacob. And now it's Jacob's responsibility to bless his child. He doesn't bless Joseph. He blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. He blesses the children of the firstborn of his true love, Rachel. Not Reuben, but he blesses Joseph by blessing Joseph's children. There's a lot that can be said about that. You can bless me by being a blessing to my children. That's certainly true. We could say that, right? Everybody in here that has children would want their children to have better than them. I'm certain of that, or at least hope so. But there's an interesting thing here that Jacob adopts these two boys. You'll see that right here in verse 4. And said unto him, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply. And I will make of thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after it. Now, thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and listen, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. How? As grandchildren? No. How? As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. He just adopted them. He just made them rightful heirs to the blessing of God. I find that very interesting. Now we see the reason. Because the blessing was going to go to these boys. It wasn't going to go to Judah. The blessing didn't go to Judah. The blessing didn't go to Reuben. The blessing went to Joseph's son. The eldest of them, the eldest of the women that he loved, Rachel. So he blessed these two boys. He blesses Ephraim over Manasseh. He crossed his hands and blessed the younger over the older. Why? I like what one commentator said. It said it this way. It was God's will that the tribe that would spring from Ephraim would be superior to the tribe that would come from Manasseh. Natural preference had nothing to do with it. Jacob was being moved by the spiritual man, not the natural man. This was not a personal preference, but a prophetic pronouncement. He was blessing Ephraim because God said, Ephraim's the one that's going to be the greater one. It wasn't that Jacob was picking Manasseh or Ephraim over Manasseh. It was that God had already been to the future, and Jacob had prophetic eyes now, and he knew that the spiritual man was leading him to bless Ephraim and not Manasseh as much. So let's find the last thing here. Jacob's confident prophecy. Jacob's confident prophecy. If you read the last verse, the last two verses, but more so the last verse, you're going to see something interesting if you know anything about Israel's history, if you know anything about Jacob. Moreover, he said, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. That's not surprising. Definitely Jacob, unfortunately, but definitely Jacob loved Joseph more than he loved any of his other children. Remember, go back, what, so many years ago, and we'll find that Joseph is given a coat of many colors, and the whole problem started with this jealousy. And Jacob definitely loved Joseph. And here Jacob says, I have given you one more portion than I've given every one of my children, except for you, Joseph, and I'm giving him to Ephraim. That's why we don't have a tribe of Joseph, by the way. 12 tribes of Israel. We don't have a tribe of Joseph. Why? Because he adopted the children, Ephraim and Manasseh, and so two of the tribes make Ephraim and Manasseh, not Joseph. And so he says, I'm going to give you a portion, but look what he says. He says, moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of an Amorite with my sword and with my bow. That hasn't happened yet. That doesn't happen until they get into Canaan. They're not going to be in Canaan for another 400 to 500 years. So what was happening? Well, Jacob still had his prophetic glasses on. He was still looking with spiritual eyes. He was looking at the future. Jacob was saying, I will give you the extra portion that I took from the Amorites. Who took it from the Amorites? Israel took it from Amorite. What's Jacob's name? Israel. He said, I will take it with my hand and with my bow, and I will give it to you, Ephraim and Manasseh. It hadn't happened yet. As a matter of fact, Jacob dies in Egypt. He doesn't get up and go into Canaan land. He dies in Egypt. It's not for another 400 or 500 years that this prophecy will take fulfillment. He was looking at what one day would be and confident that God would one day bring it to pass. He saw it as if it had already been done. He was coming from the promise of God, and it was as good as done. He was speaking of the future, not the now. He was looking down the road and not settling for today. How true that is. There are some promises that we need to hold to. No, they haven't been done yet. They will be. Because God said so. For example, heaven. One day, if you know Christ, you'll be in heaven. The rapture. One day, the rapture will take place. The promises that God gives us should be believed as if they have already been fulfilled. Friend, we need to start seeing with Bible eyes or spiritual eyes. We need to start being led by the Spirit instead of being led by the flesh. And so those are the things that I found in Genesis chapter 48. So tonight we've seen some wonderful truths. God wasn't done with Jacob just because he was blind or dying. Guess what? God's not done with you just because of your ailments. God was guiding him to bless his newly adopted sons in the way that God wanted it. That's a great lesson for us. We need to let God have his will and way in our lives instead of what we want. Joseph, dear old Joseph, was not happy with what Jacob did. But it didn't matter. And I'm telling you right now, Jacob would have done anything Joseph would have said to do except go against God. I mean, here you got a dying man that's willing to stand up when his son walks in because he respects and loves his son. And if Joseph said, "Hey, Dad, could you give me 5 push-ups?" I bet you anything, Jacob would do his best to try to do it. That's how much he loved his son. But when Jacob was putting his hand on the wrong head, Joseph said, "Not so, my father, not so." And it displeased Joseph. And Jacob says, "No, I know." You know, he was blind. He was blind. This was not some emotional decision when he wanted to adopt Ephraim and Manasseh. He didn't even know Ephraim and Manasseh were there. He has to say, "You got somebody with you, Joseph? Who are they?" Because he doesn't find out that Ephraim and Manasseh are in the room until after he tells Joseph that he wants to adopt them. There's some wonderful truths there if you just sit there and mull it over. We don't have time tonight. But I want you to know that God's not done with you yet. He has something for you to do. He has something for you and me both to do. And I want you to know that it's His will that we need to be following, not our own. True blessings come from following God's will, what He wants, instead of what we want. We should never let anybody distract us from doing what God wants us to do, no matter how much you love them. Jesus should come first. And we need to hold true to the promises of God. We need to start looking with spiritual eyes instead of fleshly eyes.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook, facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.